Obviously, the session is how to think, act, and do bigger. And it's an interesting topic because it's a topic that was laid in my lap by my beautiful wife, Rory. And she said, you know, you've got Max Shack coming up and I want you to talk about this. And I said, okay, well, why is that? And she said, well, and we were discussing it tonight as well because this is a fairly big topic. It's a very broad topic. And when she gave it to me, I thought, well, how do I handle this one? And all I can do tonight is really give you my personal view through the eyes of K-Man. And that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I'm just going to share what, you know, my thoughts are on the topic. And but Rory said, she said, you know, Rory and I first got together back in 1996. So we've been together for now going on 21 years. And she said, look, I've been with you for 21 years and I've... And across 21 years, you're gonna know everything about someone in all circumstances and all conditions, whether it be personal, professional, business, no matter what. And these are her words. She said, you know, in all my time, and I've seen you in when times are great in the economy and personal, whatever it might be, and when times are not great. But I've never met anyone who's so always, no matter what, is always positive and optimistic, is calm and cool under pressure no matter what happens, is always thinking big picture, always raises above the little stuff, is constantly driven and acting, and never gives up. So I want you to talk about how do you do that? And my short answer is, I have no idea. However, I'll share some thoughts based on me and the way I think and the people who've influenced me and had an effect on me and how I deal with things. Because the things that I deal with are the same things that everyone deal with. And one thing I've learned is everyone deals with the same shit, whether it be personal or professional. Everyone has to deal with stuff in life. And life will do that. Life will always throw stuff at you. And as the great Jim Rohn would say, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do about what happens to you. And I've had many mentors in my life. And when I hear, and some of you said tonight, you know, I want to sit back and be a sponge. And I'll give you a warning about that. And yes, it's great and it's very complimentary and I feel very humbled that you want to be a sponge. But I'd rather you be a siphon, not a sponge, because a sponge can suck up shit too. A siphon can separate the good stuff from the not so good stuff. And life will always throw stuff at you. People will throw stuff at you. And what's important is you to be clever enough to be able to differentiate the good stuff that will add value to you and the stuff that doesn't add value to you. And sometimes that stuff will come from a third place, means it will just come from a random place, someone you don't know, or over the radio, or over the TV, or in the traffic, somewhere where you don't expect it. It may come from a secondhand place where it's someone that you know, it might be your family or friend. But it can also come from first place, it can be from your own negative thinking. And I guess the cleverness is to, no matter where it comes from, it's either going to be positive in your life or negative. And sometimes we trust the wrong source. What is important is to be able to be clever enough to separate the source from the stuff and just look at the stuff separate to the source. Because some not so good stuff can come from a good person. And it doesn't matter why, because the why doesn't change the what. I've been advised by good people many times to do the wrong thing. And if I just trusted the person, then I would have done the wrong thing. But what I have to be able to trust is myself to look at the stuff, the information, the advice, the opinion, whatever it might be, and say, okay, is this right for me? And is this going to take me to where I want to go? So you got to think, okay, is this right? And am I the right person? So I'll go through some stuff, and stuff means anything, really. It can mean whatever it means. So I'll share some stuff which I've gone through, my journey, that's helped me to achieve what I want to achieve, and that doesn't mean that I'm the all and end all of achievement. But what I do know is that in my own opinion, I'm the happiest person I ever know, and I love my life, and I always have. And I've never been unhappy. I've always been absolutely happy with who I am, what I stand for, what I do. No matter what life throws at me, no matter what my bank account is, no matter whether I'm with a partner or not with a partner, whether I have a job or not have a job, whether the economy's up or down, it doesn't matter, because all of that is separate to who I am. And I guess if I had to look at it and I had to put it in the simple terms, why is that the case? Well, I guess I am who I want to be, and I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm with who I want to be with. I think if you wrap that up, I am who I want to be, I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm being with who I want to be with. And if that's the case, my mind and my body is always in the same place. I think I was taught earlier on that frustration is where your mind and your body are separated. So I use from a professional point of view, if you're in a job but your mind is somewhere else, then the bigger the gap between your mind and your body, the greater the frustration. If your body's in a job and your mind's on the beach, then you're frustrated. If your mind's on the and your body's on the beach and your mind's in the job, then you're frustrated. If your body's with someone and your mind's with someone else, you're frustrated. It means you're going to be restless. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be not right. So I guess a clue is to chase your mind and make sure your mind and your body's in the same place. Because if you don't chase your mind, you end up losing your mind. And I think a lot of times with today, there's so many challenges with society today, and one of those is mental health. And I'm no psychologist, and I never will pretend to be. But I know that someone who has anxiety or depression or whatever it might be, then there's lots of things missing there. Maybe their mind and the body's not in the same place. And I was very fortunate at a young age. I was given great advice by a close friend of the family who I called Uncle Alan. And he wasn't a true uncle, but he was a very close friend of the family. And he said, yeah, Kerry, do what you love and you never have to work another day in your life. And I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Do what you love and you never have to work another day in your life. And to do anything other than what you love, I think, is a great injustice to your own self and your own life. I don't know about life, what happens after life, but what I do know is my life is in the moment now. And if I'm doing what I love, then I'm always going to be happy. Whether irrespective of my bank account or my love account or whatever it might be, but I'm going to love me, I'm going to love what I do, and I'm going to love where I am. So if I go track back into when I was young, when you're young, you explore things because you're trying to discover what you love. I used sport. I was very good at sport. I played all the different types of codes of football. I was very good at it. And I played cricket, and I was very good at cricket. And I guess if you look at successful people, whether it be entrepreneurs or whether it be in sport, there's lots of clues that you can see. And I like to study excellence. I like to study people who become excellent in what they do, whether it be a sporting person or a business person. So I'm constantly reading and constantly studying excellence, no matter what the sport. At the moment, I'm reading a book called Leading. It's quite a thick book, but I'm reading three books at one time at the moment by Alex Ferguson, who's one of the greatest coaches of all time, and he coaches soccer. He coaches Manchester United. And why do I have any interest in soccer? I have no interest in soccer. Personally, without being offensive to anyone who loves soccer, I find it one of the most boring sporting games of all time. But I'm reading his book on soccer. Why? Because he is one of the greatest soccer coaches. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. So if I study him, there's going to be clues within his life that will marinate with me or will light, who turn on the light bulb. They go, okay, well, that's, he's excellent at that. That's why he's excellent. I was watching the US Open tennis with Nadal, and I also watched the women's final. And do I love tennis? No, not really. But I love to watch people who are great at tennis and how they handle the game and how do they compose themselves and how do they handle pressure. And I studied them and said, okay, you know, the I don't even know her name who won it, the American, but she won, but she was leading, and then she got to that point where she's going to, the last game, she only had to win the game, and I saw her lose the grip of the trophy because she was thinking about the trophy, not the game, and I'm studying it. I'm trying to work it out. It's okay, well, and I'm saying, how can I take that and use that to make me better, or that can solidify what I do, that I'm on the right track. So you find, you search for things that turn you on, and cricket was one of those things. But the thing that really turned me on was martial arts. That was something that really lit my light bulb, and I knew that because all, I'm sure Nadal or any great tennis player was playing tennis for free in their own time before they became a 16 times major winner. I know Tiger Woods was playing golf before he was getting paid to play golf. I know Ronaldo, the great soccer player, was kicking soccer balls before he was paid to play soccer. And a great quote from him is, someone says, why do you earn so much money? And his beautiful answer was, if you have kicked the soccer ball as many times as I have, you be earning the same amount of money that I'm earning. Meaning, he didn't start kicking a ball because he knew he'd be earning $60 million a year. He kicked a ball because that's who he was. He just loved kicking balls. And when you love what you do and you're passionate about what you do, then you become the best at what you do. And you become great at what you do. It's just a given. And what I do know is reading so many autobiographies of great entrepreneurs, of whether it be Richard Branson or Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or Michael Dell, or whether it be soccer players, none of them ever started thinking, I'm going to become a billionaire or I'm going to become a superstar. No one started with that big picture. They just started because that was just, that just marinated with them. That just fitted with them. That was just a natural thing. I didn't start martial arts because I wanted to become a black belt. I didn't start martial arts because I wanted to become a world champion. I just started because it was just something that turned me on. And because it turned me on, I just wanted to keep doing it. There was no forced action. It was just like, where else would I be? I could go home and watch TV, or I can go and train in my martial arts studio. Of course I'm going to go and train in martial arts. So it's really important to find, I guess, your calling. And what I do know is everyone here tonight, one of the things you all do in your own time, even if you have a job, is you go to the gym. I was talking to two people this week who wanted to enroll at Max, and they're both in their 50s, and they're both very successful in their past occupations, in their past careers, in their past businesses. One is from South Africa, and the other one currently lives in Dubai. And they've both earned a lot of money, and they're both thinking, what am I going to do for the next 50 years of my life? And both of them said to me, no matter what they were doing, even though they weren't massively passionate about it, they were great at it, and one of them was passionate, says, but one of the things that are always there is they always love training. They always love fitness. They always love going to the gym. And I thought, well, then that's just the natural thing to do. You know, if you go to the gym or you exercise or train in your own time because that's what you want to do, then that's natural to you. Then just become great at that and turn that into profession. Now you get a double bonus. And that was something to me. Is I always loved activity, loved sport. So it's just natural when Uncle Alan said, do what you love. And what I love is sport and activity. And if that's your love, then that's a good starting point. Now, obviously, you know, to turn that into an enterprise or into a career, then you say, okay, this is where I am. This is what I have to do. Now, when I started, I never imagined I was going to be where I am today. I never imagined I would have achieved what I had to achieve because none of that was set at the start. I think And life is a direction. You know when you're on track and you know when you're off track. If you're off track, it doesn't feel right. If you're procrastinating, it doesn't feel right. But you know when you're on track, because motion creates motion in the right direction creates the right emotion. And you feel, okay, I feel like I'm going places. So a lot of time, rather than focus on the destination, just focus on the direction. I'm going in the right direction. And many times you don't know what the big picture is. You don't know what I know when Steve Jobs started his computer, he didn't realize his business would turn into an $800 billion business. That's what it is at the moment. $800 billion, according to this morning, Apple is worth $800 billion. He didn't start off to say, I want to become a billionaire. He just started off because he just wanted to make computer stuff. Michael Dell, they all started in the garage of their bedroom. And they started playing with pieces in their own time and started putting stuff together. The Google boys just started playing with search engines and wanted to create a great search engine. They never started, I'm going to become a billionaire. They said, I just want to be great at what I do. And then as a part of that process, they learn how to become the best at what they want to do. When they know what your passion is, they want to be the best at it. And then when you become the best at it, if it's a value to community, you're going to get rich. The money will come anyway. Obviously, you need to put some things in the place to turn that into an enterprise, which all of them learned that because they wanted, why wouldn't you turn to an enterprise? Because that way you can affect more people's lives. So yeah, vision, big picture, I understand all that. But many times you don't know it's very hard to think 5 years in advance. It's very hard to think 2 years in advance. But if you know you're in the right direction and you know you're doing the right thing and you know you're passionate about what you do and you know if you're the best at what you do, great things are going to happen anyway. It's not if, it's just when. But if you just sit there waiting for the fog to clear to see the picture, nothing will happen. Like Jim Rohn says, it's like going through the fog. You can't see 10 metres in front of you, but if you walk 10 metres, you see the next 10 metres. And you walk another 10 metres, you see the next 10 metres. And I guess life is like that. And if you have a compass, your moral compass is you know you're doing it the right thing because you're the right person for the right reason, and you keep moving that way, there's going to be some great stuff. And sometimes you don't even know what it's going to be, but it will happen. And in that journey, sometimes you may have to walk over mountains, you may have to walk through valleys, you may have to walk over rocks, you have to go through raging rivers. Sometimes you have to do what you don't want to do to put yourself in a position where you need to, where you can do what you do want to do. When I went through university, it was the most boring bloody university degree of all time. You had lecturers who had no idea, they didn't want to be there. But I knew that if I got through this and got that degree and got those letters after my name, that would open up more doors. So that would create credibility for me. That would give me reason, even though I can't think of one subject which I did in uni which was relevant. And there was anatomy and physiology, but the teachers were so bloody pathetic, I learnt nothing. But I got through the exams because I knew that I needed that ticket to open up the next door. So yeah, sometimes you have to do what you don't want to do so you can put yourself in a position where you can do what you do want to do. And you can say, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're not going to get anywhere. You know, sometimes in my martial arts, I have to do things that I don't want to do to get to my next grade so I can do what I do want to do. Because, you know, sometimes to get the next grade in an institution, I don't agree with everything. But that's okay. I accept those things and I'll move through them because I'm thinking about the bigger picture. Because that's going to put me in a position of influence. And it's not that I'm compromising, it's just saying I'm just accepting of that. I can't change that. I can't do anything about that. So I'm just going to work with it. And when I put myself in a position where I can do something about it. You know, people sometimes criticize politicians. Well, okay, well, you become one, then you can make a significant change. Always remember, I was flying from Tasmania back to Brisbane. And I was on my way back and there's a lady beside me and she had these research papers in her hand. And I was curious because I have a history in research and I can identify a published research article. And it said, you know, some research about stuff. And I said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm a political activist. I said, oh, wow, tell me about that. And she was saying how she was on her way to Brisbane, then up to the Northern Territory in Queensland to protest about how illegal immigrants are treated and blah, blah, blah. And she's going to go there. And the Prime Minister at the time was Johnny Howard. And she's saying, effing Johnny Howard this and effing Johnny Howard that and effing Johnny Howard this. Now, she's obviously a very intelligent person. She had a PhD. And I was listening to her just rant and rave. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, imagine if she could apply her intelligence and her passion by, instead of being on the outside waving flags and throwing stones at the politicians, maybe she could maybe become a politician and try to create change from the inside rather than from the outside. And I was curious. I thought, well, maybe when you're on the outside and you're throwing waving flags and protesting and stuff like that, people don't tend to take you too seriously. But if you maybe work within the system and change within, then maybe that can create a change. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it was just a curious thought on the big picture, because many times you have to change the picture from the inside, not by criticising it from the outside rather than being proactively from the inside. But that's okay. Everyone has an opinion and she can live the way she wants and hope she's achieved what she wants to achieve. So, you know, it's... As I shared, this is, if you look at what turns you on, what do you do in your own time? You always say, if you do what you do for free as a career, then you become really successful because you're doing it for the right reasons. And I was even saying today to one of a new enrollment, I said, you know, she wanted to catch up with me tomorrow. I said, no, tomorrow I'm booked out training people all day tomorrow. And it's not that I have to train people, because as I shared, I could have retired when I was 36 years of age, but I still train people and I still do what I do because I love what I do. What else would I do? I do things that turn me on. I do things that light my lights. I do things. And a part of that process, I understand, a part of that process, if you love to grow roses, part of that process is you have to put your hand in the dirt to fertilize the soil, water the soil. Occasionally you get pricked by the thorns. Yeah, that's a part of the process. They're the things you have to do that you don't want to do so you can achieve the achievement that you do want to achieve. And a lot of people think life is all roses. Well, no, most of the time you're working underneath the roses in the roots to grow the roses to get the glory. A lot of people aren't prepared to get their hands dirty. Well, that's just a part of the process. But as you're getting your hands dirty, think about the roses. As you're doing the hard work, think about the results. So, you know, it's what is the end result for you? Where do you want to be? It's your life. You only get one shot, from my understanding. Live it the way you want to live and do what you have to do to live it. What I do know is that when you look at any moment, you know, you always know when you're on track or when you're off track. And if you're off track, you have to get back on track. When you're on track, things seem to work in sync. They seem to work fluently. So there are some clues, I guess, that maybe, and I don't think it's anything new to you. I think you already know that. You know, always know, imagine the life you want to live, what you want to achieve, why do you want to achieve it, and most of all, who do you want to become? And I think what's really important is to understand who you are and what you stand for, and then based on that, you think, okay, what are my non-negotiable standards? You know, is this acceptable? And look, yes, I have non-negotiable standards, but I don't need a vision board. I don't need a goal list. I don't need a list of non-negotiable standards to know when I'm on the right path. I know when I'm off path. I know when I have to make a decision if that's going to put me on track or off track. Is this leading me towards my goal? Is this taking me away from my goal? And doing nothing is taking you away from the goal because the goal moves beyond you. And I think that's a simple question to ask. Is this taking me towards my goal? Is this taking me away from my goal? And I find it interesting that so many people with big ideas do so little. So how about I take you through what I call seven traps that I've I've just crystallized that most, I think most people go through, including myself. And what's important is people who succeed and people who don't succeed, no matter how you measure success, they all go through the same challenges. They all go through the same thought processes. They all go, life throws the same shit at them. The only difference is the successful people do something different about it than the unsuccessful people. So let me go through what I think would be the seven things, the seven traps. I think the first one is ignorance. I think people just, they dream, but they don't go and find out the knowledge. And Rory's talking to me earlier this evening. He says, you know, how do you handle things so well? I says, well, because I decided to. I've decided that I'm going to handle things in a cool and calm and collected way. I decided that I'm going to be positive. I decided I'm going to be a big picture thinker. I decided I'm going to be a driven person. And I decided that I'll never give up no matter what. And I think that's a conscious thought. You know, people say, well, that's just natural to you. I don't think so. Communication is not natural to me, but I decide I'm going to be a great communicator. So I studied communication. So think of who you want to become and what you want to do and make it a study. Start to study the things. And people don't study. They don't read books. They'd rather watch the Kardashians or watch the dribble that comes off the radio or watch the news, which is just mostly negative, rather than making that choice. Is I'm gonna choose the things that's going to influence my mindset. I'm going to choose the knowledge that gets into my mind. I'm not just going to be a sponge to everybody. I'm going to be a siphon. I'm going to take the good bits. I'm going to disregard the not-so-good bits. No matter who they come from, I don't care. I just want to take the bits that's going to add value to my life, make me a better person moralistically, build my character, make me more disciplined. But a part of that is you actually have to source the information. You have to actually go and... I said to Roe, I think if someone watches every session on our platform, they'll be a different person. What's interesting is some people don't watch all the sessions. And I find that really odd. If I want to become a world champion in martial arts and I've been trained by a coach of world champions, I'm going to attend every session. Why? Because I want to maximize my results, maximize my chances of success by knowing as much as I can. I don't want to go in underprepared. I want to go in there overprepared. I want to go in over-knowledged, over-skilled, over-prepared. So that way it becomes easy. So I think the biggest, one of the seven traps is people don't learn who they want to become and they don't learn what they want to do and they don't learn what they want to achieve. So I think Jim Rohn puts it beautiful. What's more important than self-motivation is self-education, because if you're educated and you're ignorant, you just become an educated idiot rather than education, because when you educate, then you get, then you see what's possible. You see what you're capable of doing. So knowing is really important. So always make your life a dedication to the study of the things that you want to become and the person you want to become. The second trap is lack of self-belief. And that's an interesting one. I think everyone goes through some form of self-belief, but I think the best way to squash self-belief is action. Because once you do it, you don't no longer have self-belief because you've actually done it. The best, if you're always doing stuff, you never have time to doubt. People say, you know, don't you doubt yourself? It's not really, because I'm always doing stuff. The only time you self-doubt is when you're doing stuff and all you're doing is thinking, boy, can I do it? Can I do it? I don't know. Can I do it? But if you're always doing it, you never think that way, because every time you're doing it and it may not be working out, you do it again. Before tonight, I had another training session by myself in my garage. And, you know, there's certain skills, there's high-level skills in what I'm developing in my martial arts. And I can say, well, I don't believe that I can do it. Well, the things I couldn't believe I couldn't do 12 months ago, I now can do. Because even though then I thought, geez, you know, and it was very easy to think, well, maybe I'm I can't do it now because I'm 52, I'm osteoarthritic, I've got pain, I'm old. But if you're always doing stuff, you don't think that way. You may think that way in a brief way, but as you're doing it, you're squashing that self-doubt. You squash it with action. So the best way to overcome lack of self-belief, in my opinion, is acting. Learning, doing, learning, doing, learning, doing, learning, doing. Because you're always doing. You're not thinking. There's no time to think whether you can't do it because you're constantly doing it. And obviously you think, well, other people have done it. Why not me? You know, in the fight game, one of the people who I think, wow, you know, Bernhard Hopkins, he won the world championship at age 48. I says, well, geez, he's 48 and he won the world boxing championship. Well, he didn't use age as an excuse. So I can't use it as an excuse either, because sometimes you can use other people as to say, well, they've done it. Why not me? There are lots of people who have created magnificent lives, become billionaires, have beautiful homes, are really successful, really happy, are doing what they love. There's so many bloody people out there doing it. Why not me? So why not me? There, sometimes, you know, you come across people who've done far more than you, but they're ugly than you, they're less educated than you, they have less talent than you, but they're actually doing it. So what's my excuse? So stop self-belief and just get on with it. The other three in the traps. Number one is that you don't learn about it, you don't know. Two is lack of self-belief. Number three is the traps is, you know, is I think is your circle of influence. And, you know, they always say that your future will be determined by the books you read and the people you hang out with. Well, I've got a different view on circle of influence. I think the most important circle of influence is your own positive thoughts. You know, so when you're seeking people to hang out with, well, what if they're not there? What if they don't show up? And what if they don't really act in your best interest? And what if they disappoint you? Well, my circle of influence is the books that I read, and I choose my books carefully. And I also choose what I take out of each book. I don't always agree with everything that's said in the book, because I think, well, that worked for you, but it certainly doesn't work for me. So I'm going to take the bits out and I'll create my own circle of influence. And the most important circle of influence for me is me in the ocean of my own thoughts based on who I want to become and what I have to do to achieve it. So, yeah, circle of influence, but don't rely on circle of influence. I don't need anybody to achieve. I'm going to do it anyway, with or without circle of influence. So, but I choose my circle of influence. Most of my circle of influence are people I've never met, because there are lots of very successful people in the world on my bookshelf, whether it be Nelson Mandela or Muhammad Ali, or whether it be Martin Luther King, or whether it be Roger Federer or Usain Bolt. What I do is I take all the good bits out of the things of what they've achieved, and I apply that to me, and that's my controlled circle of influence. So yes, it's good to have a good circle of influence. And however, what I find, me personally, is that I tend to be very selective on who and what from who that I take on board, as if I'm a siphon, because, you know, I know what works for me. And I won't necessarily take on everything blindly. I'm always going to be open up my eyes. So, yes, obviously there's lots of great people who've achieved lots of great things through Max. And I do have lots of people who I respect for what they've achieved. But that doesn't mean I'm going to achieve it the same way they did. I'm going to achieve it the way I want to achieve it. But I will take what you do as inspiration to do what I want to do, and do it, as the great Frank Sinatra said, I'll do it my way. So, yeah, so don't blindly jump into a circle of influence and just think they're going to do it for you. You know, be open. Be, you know, be a siphon. Take what works for you. The fourth one of the traps is aiming to be accepted by others and aiming to please others. Well, what I will share, but others don't really give a shit about your success. They only care about themselves. So aiming to be accepted by the wrong people is a wrong plan, because now you're going to do things that aren't to add value to you, but to do things that add value to them. The most important person to be accepted by is yourself. Accept who you are and aim to please yourself based on you. And what people think of that is none of your business. As a great Wayne Dyer says, what other people think of you is absolutely none of your business. Who cares? You're the only person who has to live in your own life 24/7. And if people don't like you, who cares? They're the ones walking around thinking, I don't like you, I don't like you. They're the ones who's taken themselves off track by thinking about you. But don't take yourself off your path, off your track, by trying to please them, because they're unpleasable. So just stay true to who you are and aim not to be accepted by others, particularly people who don't have the best interest for you. So the only person you should be accepted by is yourself. And if you find you're accepted by yourself, then you always act accordingly, according to your values and your morals and your goals and your vision and your big picture. And what other people think about that, who cares? That's just little thinking. That's just low-level thinking. So I know it's easier said than done, but it's something that you just have to decide to do. You know, you just have to make that decision. And everything you make is I decide that I'm going to learn about what I want to be, who I want to become. I want to learn how to have a strong self-belief in myself. I want to learn to have my own circle of influence that I control. I want to learn to accept who I am and please myself no matter what, because it's my life and I'm the only person who lives in my life 24/7, every minute, every second of every breath of my life as I live with me. These people come in and they don't like me. They come in, they're like a seagull. They fly into your room, they shit all over the place, and they fly out and you never see them again. They just leave a shitty mess. Why? Because you let them in the window. Close the window. Don't worry about what they think. Number five of the traps is sometimes you think, I don't feel like it. You know, I'm not in the mood. Well, you don't get the emotion until you create the motion. Most training sessions I start, I'm not in the mood to start training, but I do know if I start training, I soon get very quickly in the mood. I had a training session tonight, and I went in, I said, Rose says, how's your training? She says, oh, it was one of the best sessions I've ever had. But I didn't feel like starting it. But I knew that if I started it, I would walk out feeling better. I knew Rory went for a run today and I had to pick her up and I was 10 minutes early and I always carry a book with me and I could sit there doing nothing and there was a book there and I said, oh yeah, I don't really feel like reading it, but I opened the book and once I read the first line, it was all about discipline. I quickly got in the mood and before you know it, 10 minutes had gone past and I'm thinking, geez, I wish Rory I was 20 minutes late early because I want to keep reading this fantastic book I'm reading. So how do you get in the mood? By starting. That's how you get in the mood. Don't wait for you in the mood to start something because you never start it. That's what losers do. They're sitting there, well, when I feel like exercising, I start exercising. Well, start exercising and you feel better after it. You always feel better after you read a book. You always feel better when you acted on your dreams. You always feel better when you're taking some form of action. You always feel better no matter what. You always feel better when you make your bed. You always feel guilty if you don't. You always feel guilty if you don't train. You always feel guilty if you don't. That's negative. That's going to turn you the other way. That's off track. So do things. It's a conscious effort. I decide that I'm going to do it even if I don't feel like doing it, because I know once I started, I feel like doing it, and that's going to take me steps closer to my success that other people say, wow, how'd you do that? Well, I did it when other people didn't feel like doing it. That's what made me successful. They didn't feel like doing it, so they didn't do it. I didn't feel like doing it, so I did it. Don't think that winners think, wow, I can't wait to train. Sometimes that does happen, by the way, when they're on the roll. But many times that's not the case. That's why they train, so they can win. That's what winners do. So don't wait to feel like it. It ain't going to happen. Don't think, oh, well, when I'm in the mood. No, you have to create the mood. And you create the mood by action. Remember, motion creates emotion. Emotion doesn't create motion. If you're waiting for the emotion, it's not going to come. You have to plant the seed first to get the crop. So that's number five. Number six is making decisions. Now, making that decision, you know, particularly when you don't feel like it. You know, I always thought, and it's always sometimes good to have a trigger quote. When you don't feel like, if I say I don't feel like training, I think, this is what I think. What would a world champion do? And the answer would be, a world champion would train. So guess what? I want to be a world champion, therefore I train. What would a winner do? Well, winners do what they said they're going to do. You might be motivated by negative. You might say, what would the loser do? Well, a loser would sit on the couch and not exercise. A loser would go and watch some dribbler on TV, then finish off their max program. Whatever it is, you just have to decide, what would a champion do or what would a loser do? And sometimes it's good to have that little quote to make that decision. And ultimately, it just eventually gets to the stage where you just do it because that's who you are. When you're making decisions, when you have to make a decision, there's only two options. No matter what the decision is, no matter what part of your life it is, there's only two options. These are the two options. This makes life really simple. You can do one or two things when you make a decision. You can either do number one, the easy thing, or number two, the right thing, or the best thing. The easy thing, or the best thing, or the right thing. Now, the easy thing, many times, will take you off track. When you're going to go for a run early in the morning and it's cold and it's raining, the easy thing is not to go for the run, and you got a good excuse there, right? But the right thing is to go for the run. The easy thing, not to train. The right thing, to train. The easy thing, not to read the book. The right thing, to read the book. The easy thing, not to do what you said you're going to do. The right thing, to do what you said you're going to do. And just think of this. The easy thing will take you away from your goal. The right thing will take you towards your goal. It is simple as that. But you have to have that conscious thought. I have a choice here. I can either be a winner or I can be a loser. A loser does the easy thing. A winner does the right thing according to them. It's quite simple. You make that decision. Whether it be in engaging with your partner, engaging into a task, engaging into training, engaging into education, engaging into your spirituality, engaging into how you treat a stranger, it doesn't matter. You have that one moment of time, you have that choice. Life is about making decisions. And if you consistently are conscious of making the right decision, then your life will end up right. If you unconsciously start making the easy decision, then your life will end up so far from right, it will be so wrong, you'll be a wasted life. It is simple as that. So these are some of the clues which you may have to be conscious of that I've learned in my journey. And the last thing is number seven, is people say it's too hard. Oh, for fuck's sake. Anything worthwhile achieving is always going to be hard because you're doing the right thing. But everything that is hard until it becomes easy. You know, I'm going through a new kick routine today. And, you know, 12 months ago, it was really hard. Tonight, man, that's so easy. I trained with my master just the other day. And he says, oh, my gosh, that kick routine is absolutely the best I've ever seen. But 2 years ago, it was the worst he's ever seen. But in that whole journey, I stretched and I trained. And it's hard. But everything is hard. Everything is hard first. Then it becomes easy. You know, when I learn anatomy, of course it's hard. But now for me, it's easy. Why? Because I push through the hard. When the weak give up, the strong keep pushing through the hard until it becomes easy. You know, I learned that even in marathon running. When I first started running marathons, you know, I always remember advice from a friend of mine who's run about 21 marathons. He said, a sub-3-hour marathon's easier to run than a 4-hour marathon. And I said, wow, that's interesting. He says, yes, it's easier to run a fast marathon than a hard marathon. And I think, well, that makes sense, because if you stand at the finish line of a marathon and you watch the people coming over the finish line in 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 45, 3 hours, they're flying across and they're almost seem energetic. But then I want you to look at the people who cross the marathon finish line at 4 hours, 5 hours. They look like death on legs. Why? Well, two things. A, they're not fit. That's why they take 4 or 5 hours. And B, they've been pounding their body for an extra 2 hours on the pavement. So, of course, it's going to be hard. So the fitter you get, the easier it becomes. The more knowledgeable you become, the easier it becomes. The stronger you become, the easier it is to lift. The more disciplined you become, the easier it becomes. So, yes, it's hard at the start. Of course it is. But it just gets easier. It doesn't get harder. Life gets easier the more successful you become. I was talking to one of my clients who was a multi-millionaire, then he lost everything, and now he's back to being a multi-millionaire. And he says, you know, making money's easy. When you know how to make it, it's easy. The money's the easiest part. The hardest part is making it, doing what you love. And that way, doing what you love while making the money, then you got true happiness and at peace. So, of course, it's hard. That's just a part of the game. But that will harden you, and that will condition you, and that will make you better. And that will eventually get easier and easier and easier. Once you start something, it gets easier. Once you start, whether you're doing education, once you start a book, it gets easier to get through the book because you get into the book. Once you start a task, once you get in the task, it's easier to finish tasks. Once you start a vision, it's easier because you get into the vision. But everything is hard at the start because it's hard to start a bike to get moving. That's the hardest part of riding a bike, is getting it from zero velocity to moving. But once it starts moving, it gains its own momentum. And once it gains some momentum, don't ever take your foot off the pedal, because once you take off the pedal, it will slowly slow down till you fall over, then you have to start again. Keep the momentum. Keep all the balls rolling in the direction that they should be rolling, all the balls that are important in your life, whether it be in your professional life or your personal life or your spiritual life or no matter what it might be. So the seven traps of why people give up or don't succeed is, number one, they don't know. So start knowing, start learning. Self-belief, well, hey, other people have done it. Just do it. The more you do, the less you start thinking about that, you doubt yourself. Circle of influence, be your own best circle of influence. Don't rely on other people. Yes, it's good if they're there, but ultimately, it's up to you if you want to achieve it. Acceptance from others or pleasing others. The only person you should be pleasing yourself and accepting of yourself. You don't feel like it? Well, okay. Well, hey, everyone doesn't feel like it until you do it. Then you start feeling like it. Motion creates emotion. Making decisions? Well, hey, just think. Well, there's an easy decision or the right decision. If I make the right decision, I'll get the results. And then I'll make a next bigger decision. I have to be good at making the little decisions to be in a position to make the big decisions. And is it hard? Of course it's hard. Everything's hard to start. But once you get started, it does become easier. So to finish off, they're the seven traps. And one of the diseases, and obviously I love to think, I'm always thinking of why do people succeed and other people don't? What are some people who achieve what they want to achieve and other people don't? What are some people chase their dreams and other people don't? What are some people, settle for mediocrity and averageness and some people don't? And I guess in the world of, I think most people, from my observation, I could be wrong, but most people aren't very happy. We've got a world full of depression and anxiety and suicide. And I think the reason why they're not happy is because they don't know who they are. They're not living according to who they are. They're falling in all those seven traps and not living the life they want to live. And I said to Rose, I have this little disease that came up. It came out as a disease. It's called SLR. But I've actually changed it now. It's now called RSL. RSL, like the RSL. So I'm trying to make it easy to remember. Why? Most people suffer from RSL. And I'll tell you what RSL, according to Kayman, R is most people are rude. That's a big statement, but I think most people are. Most people are just rude. I go into businesses and I go into people, and most people they're just rude. They're certainly not polite. So S is most people are selfish. They always want something. They always are after something. If it benefits them, then they'll do it. If it doesn't, they don't care. They're selfish. Most people are just selfish. It's all about them. They think the world evolves around them. And I've been on this planet for 52 years, and I've done a fair bit of stuff, and I've been very successful in lots of different things. And this is my view. Whether you agree or not, doesn't matter, because I don't really care what you think. But this is what I think. So most people are rude. Most people are selfish. And most people are lazy. They're just lazy. They say they're going to do something, but most of the time, they don't do it. And many times, the louder people say what they're going to do, the less they do. The more motivated they are to do it, probably the less they're going to do it. Because people who tend to do it don't need motivation. I think people who are successful, they just quietly go about their business and build. They don't rah-rah around and talk. They're too busy walking. They're too busy walking or running to talk, because they're puffed from walking or running. And why do people suffer from RSL? because I think they're just living wrong. I don't think they're living the life that they want to live. So if you're not living the life you want to live, and you're not where you want to be, you're not with who you want to be with, you're not doing what you want to do, and you're not living the life you want to be, then of course you're going to be rude. And of course you're going to be selfish, and of course you're going to be lazy because your life sucks. So how do you overcome this? Well, maybe first of all, start living the life you want to live. And how do you live the life you want to live? Then you have to apply a new medicine. Rather, every disease is a medicine. This is my medicine. It's the anti. It's the anti of RSL. So R is rude. Well, I replace it with C. Be courteous. Be polite. Be kind. Why? Because that's who you are. Be kind to yourself. Stop beating yourself up and be kind to yourself and be kind to others. So be courteous to yourself and to other people. No matter what they do, no matter how rude they are, always be courteous. Always be polite. S in the disease is selfish. S in the cure is be selfless. Be selfless. You know, always, you know, add value in the world and add value to other people. And always leave, Rory beautifully says, leave a profit. Always leave every person and every place in a better state than when you found it. And not because you want you to think. There's no conditions attached, because that's just who you are. If you live that way, life would tend to give you opportunities. So S is selfless. Now, in the disease, RSL, the L is lazy. In the cure, CSD, D is disciplined. It means take immediate action on your promises. Take immediate action on your dreams and your goals. Immediate, not tomorrow. The bigger the gap between the thought and the action, the less likely there's going to be action. So the cure to RSL is CSD. CSD, be courteous, be selfless, and to be disciplined on all the things that are important to you and the life you want to live. And in that process, if you want to have an excellent life, if you want to have a magnificent life, then you have to make it a study. So one of the studies, if I ever look at, if I wrap up, what do I study? Myself personally, I'm always studying excellence, whether it be in tennis or athletics or soccer or golf or in business or politics or on civil rights. I'm always studying people who've done amazing things, and I like to study them because they'll leave me clues on how I can be excellent in the things that are meaningful to me. So I hope there's been some clues there that that you can take, and don't just take what I say and apply it to your own life. Take it and make it yourself. As one of my great colleagues in the past, I used to perform in a show called Galaxies. So I used to be in the entertainment business in my early years, and I was to perform in front of 2,000 people every night for about 2 years. And one of the I was to do martial arts with weaponry and dancing and music. And one of the dancers, his name is Louis Pinto, and he used to do a Michael Jackson takeoff. And he was so good. He actually danced better than Michael Jackson, if you could say such a thing. I'll take that back. No one dances better than Michael Jackson. But he said something beautiful to me, which I took on board. Is he said, you know, if you can take someone else's dance move and you can make it better, it's no longer their dance move. It's now your dance move. And I guess Michael Jackson is also known for the moonwalk. But he didn't invent the moonwalk. He just did it better than everybody else. And now everyone says, well, that's Michael Jackson's moonwalk. But people were moonwalking before Michael Jackson. So my point being is that don't just take my idea that I share with you. Don't take them if you don't believe in it. That's okay. But if something has triggered a thought and say, hey, I can take that and I can apply that, take it and personalize it to you and make it better. Now you take ownership of it. It's no longer K-Man's opinion or K-Man's idea. Now it's your idea applied in your life in your unique way. Now it's going to be very meaningful to you.